I just want to do a quick intro. First of all, my name is Norm Farrar. I am a host of AMZ or the Lunch with Norm, AMZ FBA and e-commerce podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, except for today, it was a Thursday. Just wanted to let everybody know that this is a no pitch podcast. We just want to give you content. The room is being recorded. So if you want to come up, we love engagement. So if you want to come up, ask a question, by all means do so. But what we ask is that you don't pitch a course or whatever. And that if you're not willing to be recorded, just don't raise your hand. But this is going to be really cool. Brian came up to me and he talked to me about, you know, this potential topic that we'll be talking about today. And I went, whoa, this is kind of cool. So, you know, we'll get started in a second. The only other thing I want to say, just a bit more housekeeping. If you like what you're hearing today from the panel, please remember to follow and hit the bell so you'll get notifications. And also, Startup Club is a club about entrepreneurs, formal entrepreneurs. If you like what you hear, if you want to hear more information, click the greenhouse and make sure you subscribe so you can get notifications. Okay, sir. For those of us who don't know you, can you give us a little bit of background and let us know?
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, so my name is Brian Johnson. I tend to go by Brian R. Johnson, so I'm not confused with rock stars and people who have gotten a lot more notoriety in life. My claim to fame is basically I've put in my 10,000 hours. I've been in e-commerce for about 14 years. And in the last 7 years, just in the Amazon space, I have been very fortunate to be able to help over 20,000 sellers sell over $1 billion on Amazon. So I think I've learned my lessons. I think I'm always learning, you know, I mean, I'm always going to fall flat on my face sometimes, but,
I mean, if it was $1,000,000,001, maybe I would trust you, but
yeah, you know,
it's, $1 billion. I don't know.
The lack of social proof. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's talk about this subject. So this is kind of curious. You got me hooked. Why are people bailing from Amazon? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think it's more of a case of Amazon sellers, especially the well-established sellers. And I am also fortunate to, like yourself, be able to mingle in with some very high-level sellers, those who are on Amazon, off Amazon, multi-channel. Those who have operated at a much bigger scale, usually 10 to 100 times what we're doing on Amazon ourselves. And there is a very common trend, a very common conversation that is going on right now, and that is essentially reducing the necessity of the Amazon sales channel as far as an income stream. In other words, it's not new news that people would say, oh, well, I'm going to sell also on Shopify, or I'm going to look at Walmart or something like that. But what they're talking about is they're not only talking about multiple channels as far as those platforms that sell, you know, Target, an Etsy, Walmart, Amazon, any of these. But also going out, of course, selling direct to consumer through Shopify, through WooCommerce, through, you know, any kind of a shopping cart platform. And then, you know, moving on to things as far as like, you know, Google Shopping and Facebook Shopping and any of these kind of like social commerce kind of platforms, and testing out, like throwing like an obscene amount of money at advertising and testing to see which social platforms fit their target audience and fit their product line, of course. So where the bigger money is being played is essentially getting off of Amazon and making Amazon a minority sales channel relative to everything else they've got going on.
All right. So probably 9 out of 10 people that are listening right now just fell off their chair.
They need a better chair.
Yeah, but you know,
this is not like, oh my gosh, this is shocking news or whatever, right? You know, the writing's been on. Anybody who's been playing in the Amazon space, like you and I and probably most people in this room, we've always known, it's like, look, if something goes wrong on Amazon, where's my income coming from, right? I mean, I think that we can probably all agree on that. I think it's just a case of not really knowing what is working, who's looking at what. My perspective is simply just because I keep on, you know, it's getting to the point where it's kind of getting shouted in my ear, you know, where I literally have people who, you know, who will sit me down when I'm meeting with them and say, you know, it's like, what the hell are you doing, Brian? It's like, you could be doing 10 to 100 times what you're doing on Amazon right now if you just, you know, pull your, you know, insert whatever statement you want, and actually look at some of the other platforms that we're looking at. And I wouldn't say that it's new, but the level of how aggressive they are being about it this year right now is that's blowing my mind. I know.
I've never seen all of a sudden there was a trend, you know, a few months back. I don't even think it was a year ago, but all of a sudden the word was, you know, starting to creep out that, okay, Amazon has a captivated audience. Amazon is the largest search engine for product out there. You've got that captivated audience. But then I started to hear the trickle coming down. And one of the things, I know that there is a brand on here, I'm not going to mention any names. They haven't given me the permission, but I know a brand that 2 years ago grew their company from basically zero to $10 million off. They weren't even on Amazon. $10 million in this. There's a series of about four or five products. From the last 2 years, they grew their product up to $50 million in sales, and only $1.5 million is from Amazon sales. So how did they get that? They went to retailers, they went to Wayfair, they went to all these different outlets, and they started to get a piece of the action, Walmart, the Walmart marketplace. And it started to develop on top of their own e-commerce, which was kind of cool because they were able to drive traffic over from primarily Facebook at the time, over to their e-commerce site, trap the information with simple pop-ups to grab the their email address. But the pop-up was worth something. It wasn't like, oh, you know, download this free PDF. People got return. So I just wanted to state that. I don't know if you have any other examples of that or if you wanted to expand on what you were talking about.
No, I mean, I think, you know, we've heard so much about how, you know, about the aggregator space, right?
Yeah.
And the aggregator space, you know, gets our attention, but if we're not in a position to sell right now, then it's kind of a moot point, right? So, okay, that's interesting to know, but what's in it for me, right? and I think what ultimately that does is you kind of have to look ahead to where you want to be in 2 to 5 years. You also have to look at and see like who is essentially pulling the marketplace up. Where is the money going? You know, I'm a big believer in the rule of follow the money. And I know certainly some of these, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and he was sharing a story about one of his mastermind associates. And they had just closed on their product, and they didn't have a fantastic product. They weren't particularly the best business people and savvy, and you know, they just were consistent. They just kept at it and they kept building year over year, and they didn't rely on one channel. They do have Walmart presence. They do have Shopify presence. They do have, you know, they're in a couple different places. They're not everywhere like they want to be and they plan to be. But they just, like in this example, they just exited their brand for, gosh, what was it, $30, $35 million, something like that?
Yeah.
You know, it's a big number, right? And sometimes we look at it as a seller. I know my brands would not currently qualify for that kind of an exit. I certainly plan to get them there, but my brands wouldn't qualify yet for that. But at the same time is... they're kind of showing that there's a friend of mine from many years ago who said, it's like, you got to show them your taillights. In other words, you've got to start pulling ahead so far ahead of whether it's your competition or your students or whatever the case is, that they want to chase you. They want to go where you're going. And that's kind of what these people are doing. And so by example, maybe not their intention, but we certainly want to, those of us who are plugged into the community and realize that this is the trend, this is the path that we can look at as far as being multi-channel, not being reliant on any one channel, and really committing some more time and effort to diversifying. Now, I know somebody's out there is like, yeah, if I could just get my shipping container off the coast of California, that would be all fine and dandy, Brian. But because I've got some there. we can't be so narrow-minded that we're thinking it's like, what levers do I have to pull on Amazon? There's always going to be new levers and more levers and better levers that you can pull on Amazon in order to make things work better. But okay. I know from personal experience where I had a false Amazon came in and their bots did a false positive saying that one of my brand's accounts was associated with a bad player. My account is currently banned.
Yeah.
And I'm currently in, I wouldn't say litigation, but we're going that direction in order to get the account live again, simply because their system screwed up. Like, there's no possible way that it was correct, or, you know, unless there was some kind of a hacker or their system did a false positive by accident. But I still have to go the route of taking legal action in order to get it back. And I've been working on this for the past couple of months.
Now, you know, one of the
things that can happen to anybody.
Yeah, and I want to really be really clear about this. What we're talking about today is don't abandon Amazon. Amazon.
No.
Yeah.
There's way too many shoppers on Amazon.
Amazon, check it out. But there are other ways of making money. I see a bunch of really great Amazon sellers on here. You know, I see like Hugh and Jim and Abe, if they want to chime in, you know, just do so. But what I've done and what I've seen is I've been able to not only take it from Amazon, go onto Walmart, develop e-commerce sites, and another way of doing it. So it's not impossible. You don't have to have $1 million. It depends on really your price, your competitiveness. You know, are people looking for it? Is this a brand new innovative product? All different types of marketing strategies go into that. But one of the things that I've seen, and this is a friend of the room. I've talked to him on my podcast, Joe Martin, influencers. He's not selling on Amazon. He doesn't sell a product. I don't think he sells a product, but he has BoxyCharm, a subscription-based box that he concentrated on perceived value, put it into a box, had the box look incredibly beautiful, and he had mega to celebrity. Now, I mean, it takes money to do this, but mega to celebrity influencers promote the product. The Kardashians promoted his product.
Sure.
Brian, you were talking about, a few million, right? Tens of millions. He just sold for $500 million.
Yeah.
And it's not on Amazon. And in beauty products.
So, yeah, I mean, it can happen at all levels. I think it's more of a case of the trouble that I usually have as somebody who's in the community who wants a lot of people to succeed. I've made a career out of trying to help people do better than they did last week, right? And there's such a wide range in the seller level, from those who are about to get started with their first product, all the way up to those who have 100 products and $100 million in sales just on Amazon. There's just a massive range. And a lot of times some of the confusion comes in, and maybe this requires a little bit more discussion. And that is, when do you pull the trigger? When do you go after? Which one do you pick first as far as diversifying? But ultimately, it's the same kind of argument that you get in real life, is that should I buy life insurance? Should I invest for my retirement? Should I get life insurance? Should I, store money away? You know, any of these kind of things that you would normally think about, you know, for your life, where it's like, you know, I really should do that. And it's not until you get hit by it that you have regrets that you didn't do something.
Yeah, very good point. Now, I know we've got two Amazon sellers here, or two marketers on here that I do want to get to. So, Hugh, how are you?
Hey, Norm, I'm doing really well. I like this discussion because it's very relevant to what we've been doing for the past few years. And exactly what Brian had said, I mean, it's really, there's just a wide range of different sellers out there. And I think that something that we all kind of run into is, you know, what are we good at? Are we, you know, just good at just general business people? Or there are a lot of brands that have started because, you know, they have a really good idea. They've built up a community. And one of our brands is, we sell fashion jewelry and accessories. And that started kind of as a hobby a few years ago because my wife and my sister are both influencers, or my wife was an influencer. My sister still is. But, you know, they had an audience, they understood the market, and they're not selling on Amazon, but they built off their entire business off of influencers, Pinterest, social commerce. And we don't really have any plans on going on Amazon because there's a lot of things that you can't control. And there's a lot of advantages for doing that. You mentioned BoxyCharms. And, you know, one of the things that is really good in this direct-to-consumer business is we have the ability to hand package, custom package, and deliver the products so that people that are receiving it feel like they're receiving a gift every single time, right? And that has just provided just an immense value to the brand and really allowed us to keep the prices as high as we do. So just kind of want to chime in there that, you know, there definitely are so many opportunities outside of Amazon. You really have to kind of think about, you know, your strengths and kind of where you want to go.
And I like what you're talking about, you know, the quality or the perceived value, keeping that up high as well. I do have one comment, about the Amazon and swaying away from Amazon. You want to make sure that you do know your audience and, you know, go in, do the research, do your competitive research, see if other people are selling either, you know, Walmart, Wayfair, Fair, in bricks and mortar, on their own e-commerce platform, see what they're doing, see how they're marketing. And then one of the things that I can highly recommend, it's an 8-minute video. I have nothing to do with the company. All I know is the guy is incredibly smart, Rand Fishkin. And he's the founder of Moz. He started this app called Spark Toro, T-O-R-O, Spark Toro. And within 8 minutes, you can dive in, go to your competitors, and figure out the audience, who's listening, the influencers behind it, and target the heck out of them and just make that part of your competitive advantage. So it's really cool. I don't know if any of you are using Spark Toro. If you're not, you got to check it out. It's incredibly cheap and it's very effective. I think, Joe, you're using it. And on that note, hey, Joe, welcome.
Hey, thank you. And I agree, Spark Toro rocks. It is a tool that I try to use regularly because it really, you nailed it when you said you need to know your audience. Amazon is great. It's a great place to start because it provides a ton of traffic, which, I mean, you don't have to know marketing to be able to sell on Amazon. It is a great, it's a great sales channel. But that's all it is. It's a sales channel. Amazon controls the leverage over your business and can take it away as fast as you get it. That's one of the really bad things about Amazon. However, to overlook Amazon, for most sellers, it's something that they can't overlook. And I really don't necessarily recommend it. However, I started selling 21 years ago. Before Amazon was actually selling products, and my products were too expensive for Amazon when Amazon first started. So we started by building out communities. You know, I wouldn't start a business just on Amazon personally, and I don't really recommend it. It's smarter to establish yourself in business, period. And that means being on more than just Amazon. In the last couple of years, studies have shown that buyers now are more concerned about the experience than the price. Not in all cases, but they perceive value at a much higher level than they have in the past. And that creates situations where, like you, he's been able to do very well without Amazon. I have a lot of different clients that I've taken off of Amazon that are doing better off of Amazon than they are doing on Amazon. But together, they're doing really, really well. It's not as hard as people think. However, you have to learn about your community and your audience, and you have to learn marketing. And some of it's just basic marketing, but you have to be willing and open to do that. Amazon is about closing the sale. It's the cash register. When you're working off of Amazon, you're dealing with people in all the different levels of the buyer journey. So the message has to change. It's not about the hard sell. It's about helping them solve issues and problems and, you know, solving their motivation for needing a product or solving their problem that the product can resolve. And it's about understanding who those people are and being able to talk to them. Just that experience alone makes you a better Amazon seller.
All right. Thanks, Joe. That's really great advice. And please stay up on the panel if you'd like. And,
definitely.
You know, if you could. I just wanted to reset the room for a second. We're talking about an interesting topic that we probably wouldn't have talked about a year or two ago. It was different dynamic then. Although what Joe just said has always been, you know, you never had always on Amazon, but we're talking about why sellers are straying away from Amazon or looking for different alternatives, which I think is a really trendy topic right now. And most people, new sellers, when they hear this, their mouths are dropping because they think that Amazon is, you know, the only game in town, and it's not. By far, it's not. You just have to do some exploration. The other thing is, if you like what you're hearing, from the panelists, the people that are that have come up to stage, ask the questions, drop some knowledge, please follow them. If you want to hear more from them, you know, you can hit that bell. If you like what you're hearing in the room, Clubhouse or a startup club has a room. It's all for entrepreneurs, and it's a no-pitch area. So feel safe. You're not going to be pitched a course, anything like that. Anybody tries to pitch a course, Olivia's pretty good on the mute button. So before we get to you, Shante, I just want to see if Brian has anything further to add to the conversation.
No, I'm glad that Joe was able to join in here. For those of you who have never met Joe, definitely stalk him, you know, listen to what he's got to say, because he's got some pearls of wisdom that'll just hit you right between the eyes on a regular basis. So, Joe, thanks for being up here.
Okay. So, and I agree 100%. Shante, how are you? Welcome to the panel.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm fine. Thank you for asking. I just wanted to get on and I wanted to ask a question, because I am considering getting on Amazon, but for some reason I've gotten approved for the Amazon FBA and everything. For some reason, I just cannot figure out how to get my products listed. So I wanted to know, is there anyone who could assist with getting products listed, and, you know, with all of the correct marketing and everything, all of the tools and gadgets, secrets that there is into marketing with Amazon? Is there anyone who could help that specializes in that?
Well, there's a lot
there's
of
tens of thousands of people. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people.
Anyone
that
you would recommend?
That I think one of the starting points is if you're getting into Amazon, you want to probably get a service called Helium 10. And within Helium 10, if you subscribe to it, there is a free course, Kevin King. If you don't know Kevin, you know, you should probably just follow him and listen to him. He's very knowledgeable. But there's a course in there called Freedom Ticket, and that can help you go through that whole process. There's tons of consultants. The problem with that right now is that there's so many consultants that are really bad consultants. So do your homework. If you, after all of that, if you do need some help, I can point you in the direction of a few. Just DM me, and I can help you. But again, I don't want to be pitching anybody or anything right now. But you do, H10 or Helium 10 is something that you can take a look at. It's free. The paid service, you might want to take a look at that course.
Well, and I was going to suggest too is that, you know, there's, and I completely agree with you on this one, Norm, is that there are tens of thousands of VAs that have flooded the market lately that call themselves experts with a week of experience. And I know I keep kicking them out of my group all the time. Some of the things that, you know, if you've got access to YouTube, of course, there's plenty of great authors on YouTube who have free content that, sure, they may have courses and services, but their free content is usually worth following. Like Norm said, you know, Helium 10, you've got Brandon Young, you've got Adam Heist, you've got Norm, you've got myself, you've got a number of others that that have a track record on YouTube or on Facebook of putting out free content. The nice thing I like about YouTube is that if I have a specific question, I can usually get a specific answer, which is one of the things I really like about the YouTube search engine. And it doesn't cost me anything.
Very good. So hopefully that helped out, Shante.
It helped a lot. And I also did have another question. What was the name of that app that you had just mentioned? It was called SparkToro. I did try to look it up and I couldn't.
Yes, it's Spark, like SPARK, Toro, TORO.com. They've also got a really incredible blog.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. That was my questions.
Okay. So, Brian, out of the platforms that you're seeing perform right now, any suggestions?
Well, I mean, I think probably the ones that are the easiest, and I say that in air quotes, but easiest to get onto are going to be, so let's kind of break it down here. So you've got the platforms that are, you know, simply just, you know, sales channel. They're sales marketplaces. Amazon is an example of that. You could roll over to Walmart or an Etsy. It really kind of depends on the product and the price point that you're shooting for. Generally, Walmart's got a lower price point audience, and their whole system is considerably more clunky and requires more patience than Amazon. But it is a way to test out if you have one of your better products. My recommendation is usually like, you know, it's the 80-20, you know, it's like take your top 20% and test those products in other marketplaces. So you've got those kind of marketplaces. Then you also have, you could sell on, there's multiple other sites, you know, the Home Depots and the Target and Google and, you know, all the platforms that Google Shopping supports. Those are options also, albeit each of these is going to add in kind of a sliver of traffic in comparison to Amazon. But I'd rather have an additional 5% from someplace else than to be 100% reliant on any one channel, right? Yeah. There are plenty of tools. If you use something like a Shopify or WooCommerce, there's plenty of, again, there's YouTube videos and setup wizards and that kind of stuff in order to sell your product directly. But there's two things that that requires, of course. One is your own fulfillment, you know, so fulfillment by merchant, not an FBA kind of situation, unless you did like a fulfill through FBA, which is kind of a pain sometimes. And you also have to drive your own traffic there too. What that usually pushes you back into, what I would recommend, and certainly I'm putting a lot more time into, and that is building out my personal conversations that I'm having with my target audience on Instagram, on Pinterest, and then TikTok. I do have some on YouTube as well. And I know that there's somebody who probably does really well with advertising on YouTube would say, hey, that's the best source. But there's a generally that's not an entry level point. That's more if you've got you know, money to play with, YouTube advertising would be a great way to go also. But from a low cost standpoint and just testing, it is, how do I connect directly with my target audience? Instead of letting any platform do it for me, how do I actually reach out and have my conversation directly with the audience that I'm targeting with my products? It does require you to actually care about your target audience. And I know that kind of sounds funny and flippant maybe, but the point on this is there's so many people who have gotten into the Amazon FBA business because they didn't have to think. They used somebody else's process. They used the same tools and the same process to research and source products that were an opportunity. And they had no consideration really for who their target audience is, what their needs are, and what the product is, what benefits this product provides to them. And so a lot of times what we'll see, and we see this a lot and like really badly on Amazon now, is so many new products simply just copy those that they're trying to emulate the top sellers, and they're trying to copy their content. And the content of some of these top sellers hasn't changed in 5 years.
Right.
And it's using a very outdated design method that does not address the needs, does not hook the target audience, does not speak to them about the benefits of the product. And so having that conversation through social media, yeah, it's more work, you know, and like you could probably find a teenage neighbor or somebody in the family that just lives and dies on one of these social media channels who you could probably pay on the weekends to get in there and start having conversations and try to figure out, hey, why do people like this product that everybody talks about? You know, what is it? What would I need to bring to market in order for people to get excited about a new product that would fit this target audience? You know, what's their biggest pain point? So it's about having that conversation and getting that feedback. But you either have to do it yourself or you got to get somebody in there who can do it with you, ideally not a service, but somebody that you know, that can get in there and actually have a genuine conversation with people on social media over several weeks at a minimum,
yeah,
to really understand the pain of your target audience. Otherwise, you can't speak to solving their pain with your product. But once you do, you're going to have just, you know, massive fans who are like, it's like, oh, I can't wait until you bring this product because you've been talking about it. You've been asking. It's like, what if I did this? It's like, what if we had a product that came to market, you know, what if I did this with the product, or, you know, what color would you like, or what, you know, what function is missing, or what do you hate about the one that you've got now? After a while, people are like, hey, are you going to bring this to market? Cause sign me up, take my money. That's a pretty good way of building out your social commerce.
Yeah, I would, if I could just jump in here, I think, Brian, that's exactly right. I think that having those conversations and being able to understand your audience, and they can also help you with product research. So in this jewelry accessories business that we have, I mean, we've got thousands of SKUs and we're always trying to come out with, you know, the next trending product. And a lot of that comes from the community. We've built that community, and they'll, even sometimes without asking, they'll message us, you know, DM us their Instagram or, you know, or wherever. And they'll just say that, oh, I wish it came like this. Or do you guys have anything like this? And that's really helped just, you know, with the product development and allowed us to go back to our manufacturers and say, you know, we just need to make a modification to this or want to bring out this style. And it's really helped, especially, you know, for businesses that have a tremendous amount of SKUs, it's difficult to keep up with. So a really good point.
So, and I agree with that. And you know, what you guys are all talking about is really the bottom line, understanding everything about your buyer personas. Buyer personas are not focused on enough at all in most businesses. And really, they're the key and the essence of understanding your business really well. Now, I've been in plenty of corporate meetings with guys in suits, three guys in their 60s in suits, creating buyer personas for a product that appeals to 16-year-old girls. And there's no 16-year-old girl in the room representing, you know, that group. Your buyer personas have to include actual questions to real buyers. And something that we focus on is building an audience. If you can build an audience, build a following, build a somebody else's group, you know, from an influencer's group of their members that are interested in your product. However you do it, if you can build an audience and have some trust with them, they will tell you what products they need. They will tell you what your next best-selling product should be. It's easier to build an audience and ask them what they need help with for you to find a winning product than it is for you to pull winning product out of your back pocket from research on Helium 10 and then build an audience around it. And that's what you're talking about. So that's really, I mean, that's the essence of business, when you can go to your community and say, hey, what do you think about this? They're going to tell you. And it eliminates a lot of wasted money and a lot of, you know, trial and error of finding what works. And that really, 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 people just don't realize how beneficial that is. I mean, he doesn't sell on Amazon. This is where his success comes from, is right, knowing and his audience and being able to, you know, touch their pulse.
Yeah, part of that too is like we tend to be tempted, both when we're trying to get, you know, trying to find influencers, macro or micro influencers, or we try to introduce a product to, you know, a hashtag on an Instagram, you know, thread or whatever. We are tempted as sellers to promote our products. And I beg you, please don't even mention that you have a product in the first 2 weeks of having that conversation with your shop, with your target audience.
Yeah. So, Brian, there are two other points I want to bring out. And by the way, Samuel, if you're still listening, I know you've been trying to come on and ask a question for a bit, but please pop up. I turned on the raise hands. And if you want to come back up to the panel, we'll take your question right away. But two things, chatbots. Chatbots, if you can work with a chatbot, if you could drive people over to your chatbot. I was just talking with Paul Barron on my podcast just a few minutes ago. And there's some really great things that you can do to enhance the customer experience and to build out brand ambassadors very inexpensively by taking somebody who has either been a repeat customer, get them to become an influencer, get them to become a passionate person about your product, or somebody we call a brand ambassador. I was just talking to him, and over the last 3 months, I thought it was 2,000 images or pieces of user content. He's generated 11,000 images over the last 3 months of user content. Now, if you go out and you try to get this, try to figure out how much that would cost. You know, some would be free, some would be $10, some would be upwards of $100, and it's free because he's got people to be passionate about the product. But you can't do, like Brian was saying, like everybody here is saying, you can't just go out and say, oh, promote my product. It doesn't work. You have to build that. And the last thought I have, unless Samuel comes up, one thing that we typically don't talk about because we're e-com sellers, it's the small retailer, the specialty store, the mom and pop store. There are hundreds of thousands of these stores out there that we can populate. And they don't, like I'm in the soap niche. Well, they don't want Dove soap. They don't want Iris Spring. They want like artisan soaps. And they don't get approached that often. People are focusing on their e-com or Amazon stores. They are wide open, and guess what? They pay cash. So you're not in a receivable situation. They pay cash, and they're not looking for one. They buy case or cases of product. So anyways, that's, you know, really, I think we didn't cover enough. We've got to come back to this topic another time, but we are running out of time today.
You are running out of time. Yeah. You got to catch your flight to London, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So yeah, I'm a little bit rushed today on the topic, But what I'd like to do is I really want to thank Hugh, thank Joe. The people who came up and asked questions are great. And Brian, you know, thank you for coming on board. Thank you for bringing up this topic. It was brilliant. Hopefully we can talk more about it. So on that note, if you like what you heard today, make sure you follow the speakers or the people that have been up here on the panel. Click that bell. If you like to get more information about Startup Club or get notified, click the greenhouse. And we're back every Thursday. Well, almost every Thursday, 95% of the time, Thursdays at 1 o'clock. This is Ecom Weekly, and we're bringing you topics that will make you a better seller. So until next room, we'll see you later.